Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 to 28. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what happened during the class of children's Sunday school. With this, I begin the message. A 8-year-old girl asked a question to her teacher. Teacher, are you a man of spirit? Of course, it was not to evaluate her teacher. It was just a pure question. The teacher was puzzled at first, but soon she smiled and answered to this kid, No, I'm not yet a man of spirit, but I'll go into spirit and enter New Jerusalem with you in the future. She answered like this. Do you know how the kid said to the teacher's answer? Teacher, you can't enter New Jerusalem although you go into spirit. You should go into whole spirit. That's right. It gives us a happy smile. Likewise, even children understand correctly what kind of hurry we should fulfill and what qualification we should have in order to enter New Jerusalem, the best dwelling place in heaven. Even children have this hope for whole spirit, thanks to the senior pastor who's been teaching us about spirit and whole spirit unceasingly for 33 years. Although our goal of New Jerusalem sometimes looked dim to us, and even though some of us gave up, our senior pastor confessed for us to the end, you can do it. He's been taking the responsibility, trusting us, and taking the justice for us through the sacrifice. Thanks to him, the flow of the Holy Spirit was allowed to us in 2015. So we can ride in the flow of Holy Spirit this year. A more rapid flow of Holy Spirit, you and I are going happily. Day by day, there are various spiritual ways to ride in the flow of Holy Spirit well. But today, I'd like to tell you about it with the subject of serving others. Then what is serving others? It contains the meaning of sacrifice and devotion. Namely, serving others is a beautiful virtue of a Christian. It is what God is pleased with. And moreover, it contains the spiritual law about how to receive blessings from God and how to become great before God. As today's passage, Matthew 20:26, latter part says, Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. When you serve others, you can become great before God. What is the reason? It is because you serve others equally to the size of your heart vessel. The more you serve others, and the more you humble yourself for others, the broader your heart vessel will become. It is because you should have a big heart vessel to put in the other's heart in order to forgive, accept, and harbor them. Those who are narrow-minded can never harbor or serve others. I'm not saying that we should understand and serve anyone in any situation unconditionally. We should serve others only by the standard of the Word of God and the truth. And that service should have power to make others change and come into life. Today, let's delve into the serving others in three aspects. I hope that you can fulfill the true serving others which God recognizes through this message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to serve others spiritually so that you can become great before God, firstly, you should serve them without an ego. When I was serving as one of the leaders of my mission, I had a dream one night. And that dream, I was so busy to prepare food for my mission members. On a long table, I set many spoons and plates. I put luxurious dishes on the table. However, while I was out for a little while, another leader came in, and the mission members mistook him for the person who prepared the table. So they thanked him for the food, not to me. When I saw the members thanked him, I began to feel uneasy, and I felt it unfair. But thankfully, I was reminded of a Bible verse in that dream. The verse was today's passage, Matthew 20:26. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. So through that dream, I realized that I didn't serve the members and I was not satisfied with just looking them enjoying the food, but I wanted to receive the reward and recognition after all. Likewise, the serving others without an ego doesn't have the heart to be recognized. Mothers take care of their babies with such a serving heart. When they change their diapers or when they feed them and wash them. No mother will say, it's hard to change diapers every day, or I'm tired to breastfeed my baby on time. Also, they will not want to be served by their babies and will not insist their own to their babies. They will become so happy and joyful even when their babies babble or gurgle. But this applies only to the relationship between parents and children. Also, we don't say that only this is how you serve others spiritually. To serve others spiritually, you should serve a people who are not your parents or children or your friends in the same manner. Worldly people want to show off their effort when they help someone or when they do some volunteering works. For example, there are various kinds of duties. Some of them are visible to others, but some of them are not. There are people who do their duties with their best, even if the others don't recognize or remember them. When they offer something to the Father with their true heart, He accepts it pleasingly. Those people become the head of the mission because God accepted every duties they've done. If you try to be recognized, you want to receive something back from the one whom you served and helped. So you will stop helping them if you're not recognized as you want or if you're not treated as you want. Rather, if the other doesn't like how you served or if he doesn't express his gratefulness to you, you feel uneasy about him. You put the blame on him saying, he's so arrogant, he's picky, or he's stingy. It's the same when you serve for God's kingdom. Church workers take care of novice believers or those who are weak in faith and serve them very carefully. They prepare their seats and they prepare their noodles on Sundays. And they even give a ride for them to the church. They support the novice believers very carefully. But after time passes, such souls become stable in faith, grows in faith, and moreover receives blessings. How should the workers feel at this? Some workers think, I served that soul earnestly and he became a good Christian now. And they want to be recognized by their service and they want to be paid back from him. They want him to tell others about their devotion. And moreover, they want to receive reward from him. When they don't receive reward as much as they're satisfied, they think he's so rude or he's ungrateful. But it's a delusion if they think he's grown up in faith only by their care. Many others took care of him, and the shepherd raised him. Most of all, they should remember that Father God caused the growth. In the early churches, Apostle Paul opened many churches and manifested the power of raising a man from the dead. But what did he say? He confessed in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. As an apostle for the Gentiles, he delivered God's grace to many souls and served them with preaching, but he didn't think he had done it. He says everything was done thanks to God's grace. You're not the main character when you truly serve others. Let me introduce the one who showed the true serving heart like this. He is John the Baptist. John 1:35 through 37 says, Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. These two disciples must have seen and learned many spiritual things from John the Baptist. However, when they heard about Jesus, they left him. How did John the Baptist feel then? I taught them, but they left me. No, he rather rejoiced. The fact that his two disciples met the true teacher Jesus was a joyful thing to John the Baptist. However, it was not all. When Jesus and his disciples baptized people in Judea, many people gathered to Jesus. John the Baptist heard this from his disciples. What was his confession at this? John 3:29 says, He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, so this joy of mine has been made full. That is, he expressed Jesus as the bridegroom, the main character in the wedding, and compared himself to a friend of the bridegroom. He answered to his disciples that he was full of joy like that of a groomsman or a friend of the bridegroom. And he continued with a more gracious confession. You know this verse well. The verse 30 says, He must increase, but I must decrease. He lifted up only Jesus, who is the Savior, and he denied and humbled himself. We could see John's humility. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you serve others without an ego, you will rejoice and you will be satisfied only by giving yourself. You rather rejoice with your service itself, even though someone else is more loved and recognized than you. Also, if others don't know how you serve them, you hope that they become well and happy. Even though you sacrificed yourself for the souls with your own time and money, you don't want to be served by them. Our senior pastor has been showing us this true serving heart to us for the last 33 years. He gives everything for his beloved sheep unsparingly. He has a wife and three children, but he gave up the position as a family head in order to serve his flock. Also, even in severe cold where ink got frozen, he didn't cease to offer prayer and fasting so that he could penetrate the spiritual realm. He has been feeding us with the word of life he received from God that way. He gave everything for free. You know that he breathed his last after bleeding too much in 1992. It was a chance for him to rest in the Lord's arms, which he had been longing for. He could have rested in the glory of New Jerusalem, but he gave up this too for the dying souls. He didn't just sacrifice and serve the soul spiritually, but also he helped the souls physically as much as he could. He carefully searches the poor and alienated believers and enlarges the boundary of charity to help them live without worry about food, clothing, and shelter. It is not because he is rich or he has things remained after his use. He saves to help others by economizing on what he eats, wears, and uses. But some people are not grateful, but rather ask him more. Some people forgot the grace and turned away from him. He helped with his best, but some people spoke against him with evil words. But he never says he feels regretful to help those people. He is happy to serve others himself. He's been serving the souls not by looking at people, but by looking at the Father. We've been receiving this kind of his service without any cost. I hope that you and I also fulfill this spiritual service through this time. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to serve others spiritually so that you can become great from the sight of God, secondly, you should serve them as they want. Namely, you should not serve them from your own standard or what seems to be good to you, but serve them only the way they want. In order to do so, you should not have the self-righteousness and frameworks. Here, the self-righteousness is that you insist on what you think right. And the frameworks are the hardened thought that something is right. After all, unless you break your self-righteousness and frameworks, you will serve others by your own thought. I'll tell you an example related to this. Usually, when we serve someone in the higher position or a head person, we serve them carefully. Because the relation of top and bottom in a company or an organization, we try to humor them by reading their faces. However, this kind of serving manner collapses between family members who are close to one another. Among them, I'll tell you they're serving each other in the relation of parents and children this time. Let's say there are parents both of whom work. These parents took time out of their busy schedule to spend time with their children. Sometimes they ate out together. But their children didn't like this time. Why? It is because the parents choose what to eat. For example, children want to have jajangmyeon, pizza, or spaghetti, but parents don't want to feed their kids with flour-based foods. They want to feed them with healthy food, but their little children don't like it. They eat out to have a pleasant time as a family together. But if the children are forced to go to the restaurant and eat the food making grimaces, their eating out means nothing. Likewise, even though the parents gave the best thing to the children, if they don't want it, the meaning of that service disappears. For another example, sometimes children get sick and have some trouble. In this case, some parents try to solve the problem while they have already condemned the children from their own self-righteousness and frameworks. Because they can't see more broadly because of their own frameworks of truth, they keep saying to their kids, "You should look back on what you've done, and you should repent." Of course, I'm not saying that this is wrong. Because they love their children, they just try to find a spiritual reason and answer quickly. But children lack spiritual knowledge yet, and they don't have many experiences of meeting Father God. So sometimes what they need first at this moment, it can be parents' love, and it may be to be comforted by parents, and it may be the parents' care. Also, parents can help them realize that Father God is love through it, and it can be a warm chance to meet Father God. But if parents treat them only with the law first, without considering their situation, their heart will feel more burdensome, and they will shut the door of their hearts. Sometimes parents come to see me or other pastors with their children's problems. Those parents have different kinds of questions. Some parents ask, "My child has this kind of problem. How should I deal with him? And principal, please talk to him and change him." However, some other parents ask like this, Principal, my child faced this trouble. What should I do for him? What kind of love should I show to my child? You must feel the difference between these two questions. Parents should try to understand their children first, like the letter parents asked, wondering, what made my child do so? What made him say so? Also, you should put yourself on your children's shoes and try to find the answers, thinking, how can I help my child? Sometimes understanding their heart can solve most of their problems. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, likewise, if you approach someone with your own judgment and standard, the relationship will become parallel. Namely, just like a parallel lines can never meet, no matter how long each line is, you cannot find out what the other wants. After all, you cannot open his heart nor gain his trust. If you cannot feed the heart of your family, your closest ones, how can you serve your neighbor, brothers and sisters in faith? Moreover, you cannot serve Father God and our Lord truly with the heart. If we have a strong ego, although we devoted ourselves for others, rather we might hurt them. We should understand this. If we break our ego, we can understand others' heart and what they want. And moreover, even when the others speak or act something that cannot be understandable, we'll be able to accept him by our serving heart and understand him. I had an experience related to this. It happened during the worship service of Children's Sunday School. Our mom and children attend worship service at the fourth sanctuary. Sometimes I saw children of lower grades during worship. They swayed both legs or they put their legs on the pew in the front. When I saw such children, I told them as a principal, getting down to children's level on my own, and trying not to sound nagging, I told them with a smile, why don't you put your legs prettily? I spent 1 year in that way. But one day, I heard this from someone. During worship service, a child stood up with a grimace on his face and said, Teacher, can I stand up for a while? Then his pastor didn't force him to sit down, but asked him the reason. He didn't force him to sit down. Why? What made you stand up so suddenly during the worship? Then the child answered, I cannot touch the ground with my legs, so it's hard to stay sitting. Their worship place is the sanctuary for grown-ups, so the pews are high for little children. Imagine that you can't touch the ground while you are sitting. How would you feel? Your legs will become numb soon if you sit straightly for 30 minutes or an hour. It won't be easy even to adults. Of course, after that, I talked with the related department of the church and trying to find a way for children to worship comfortably. I don't want you to misunderstand. Well, for younger ones, we have nursing rooms in our church. For 1 year, I didn't know why our children felt hard to be sitting, and I didn't ask them the reason. I just tried to change their attitude. However, what I'm grateful and also sorry is that our children never got irritated or upset whenever their principal corrected them. They just tried to put their legs prettily with a bright smile. Through this experience, I could look back on my self-righteousness and frameworks. After all, because I put myself higher than others, I insisted that I was right. Also, I realized that I should not judge even a little one from my own standard. I thought that I should never serve them on my own way. Our senior pastor serves our members from little kids to old ones according to their needs. Particularly during this Lunar New Year meetings, even though he didn't have any strength, he laid his hand on the kids who were in the arms of their mothers. Because I'm a principal of a children's Sunday school, I can see the senior pastors serving for our children better than others. Sometimes mothers carry their kids on their back, then he didn't only shake hands with the adults, but also he stretched his arms or followed to lay his hand on those kids. Seeing him, I remembered myself when I was little. It happened when I was an elementary school student. Senior pastor was passing through pathway in the sanctuary after meeting some members. Many church members were standing in a line to greet him and shake hands with him. I also was in the crowd of adults. As I was an elementary school student, my height was likely to reach adults' waist, and adult members who stood before me were blocking my view. But I wanted to shake hands with the senior pastor so much. I reached my arms like this, and I was jumping, just like Zacchaeus who climbed the mulberry tree. I prayed inside, "Senior Pastor, I want to shake hands with you," and I jumped as best as I could. However, someone's hand held my hand tight. Senior Pastor saw the little kid's hand in the crowd of adults and squeezes in to hold my hand. I still remember that time. One of our children's Sunday school told a similar testimony with this. She wanted to shake hands with senior pastor. She was standing on the street, but because she was small, she was pushed by adults and she couldn't shake hands with him. She felt a little bit sad, but that night, the senior pastor appeared in her dream and held and touched her hand so warmly. Likewise, you should serve even a little one by being humble. You should serve him and fitting to him. If you serve others as you're willing, as you feel, and as you like, it means nothing. We should think first, what does he or she want the most? What will they need in their situation? Or, when they deed of service hurt him by any chance? It's not right to tell them to be served as you want. Some people even mistaken that they are serving others while they are serving others with their own frameworks about service, without considering other situation or taste, and according to what they decide. But how did our Lord, who is the best in serving others and the greatest in heaven, do? Jesus is originally one with God, and He is the master of all creation. Also, He has the same glory and power with the Father God. Jesus, with His tremendous authority, came to this earth for us, who are not righteous people, but sinners, and He served us only. In addition, by experiencing people's diseases, pain, poverty, and sorrow together, He understood the conditions of human beings more than anyone else. So when He saw the souls who suffered from disease or weakness, He felt pain and tried to heal them anyhow. However, sometimes He met people who couldn't be healed because they didn't have faith or their faith was small. But He didn't feel happy about them or just give up on them. He helped them realize by the word and planted faith in them by all means. We can see this well from the story of a man blind from birth in John chapter 9. John 9, 6, 7 says, when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. As he says, when he healed a man blind from birth, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. He could raise the dead only by his word. Then why did he make clay and apply it to his eyes? It is because he considered his faith. Because this blind man hadn't seen any sign manifested by Jesus with his eyes. It was hard for him to have faith. Jesus knew this well, so he helped him to have more faith and to obey by considering him this way. This man couldn't see, but when something was applied to his eyes, because he sensed it, he could have faith more easily. Of course, because this man didn't have faith like Bartimaeus, Jesus helped me to feel his hand by it, in order to plant faith of healing in him. Likewise, our Jesus tried to understand the heart of every soul, and he even read his heart in depth of his heart so that he could solve his problem. Our beloved shepherd always prays harboring various problems of the souls with the heart of the Lord and teaches us the way of answers and blessings. Even for the souls on the first level of faith, or even those who don't have faith, he treats them humoring their hearts. He did so also during the Lunar New Year meeting. He explained about justice and why we should not receive the prayer twice again. Actually, we heard this many times, and we know it. But because we couldn't obey completely, our shepherd explained it again like this. But nevertheless, if there was anyone who wanted to receive his prayer directly, he didn't feel uncomfortable about him. Rather, he explained again to help such people have greater faith with a burning heart. I'd like to tell you someone's testimony. This member passed the rock of faith in going towards spirit. In the refinement of blessing, he found that he had a lump inside his body. It would be better for him if he looked back on himself with a grateful heart, but he had worries and pressure deep in his heart. And one day he had a chance to receive senior pastor's prayer, and he checked in the hospital and found that the size of the lump was becoming small. The doctor said the lump could have become bigger without the medical treatment, and it could have become fatal. But the lump became small. How a grateful thing it is. But this member thought he must not have gotten such disease in his position. And even though the lump became small, he still felt heavy. He felt sorry, thinking, I must have been healed completely. And he couldn't even give a testimony. Later, someone else reported this to the senior pastor. Do you know how he answered? He said, I wish I could pray for him every day. Of course, senior pastor's situation doesn't allow him to pray for one member every day. But he considered the member's heart and expressed his heart, saying, I wish I could pray for him every day. I hope he can be healed soon. The member heard this, and then his heavy heart disappeared. He's now running more fervently in joy and thanks. Likewise, our Lord and our Shepherd always search our hearts and consider and serve us. Through this, I pray earnestly that you and I also serve others only seeking their benefits. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, to serve others spiritually so that you can become great before God. Thirdly, you should serve them unchangingly. You should serve without your ego, and you should serve as they want. And thirdly, you should serve them unchangingly. Unchanging serving applies to various aspects. For example, you may serve others differently simply because you feel different as time passes by. Or you serve others when the situation is okay and when it gives benefit to you. But when your situation becomes hard, you change following your own benefit. Reversely, when your situation was difficult because you're poor in spirit, you serve God diligently. Then, if the situation becomes good, you should serve God more with thanks and joy. But some people are lifted up in spirit and don't serve God but change. Let's say there's a person who offered tithe of $100 for his $1,000 income. He planted with faith continually and he got blessed. He began to offer tithe, which increased to $300, $500, and $5,000. When the amount of tithe began to increase, he started to count it. He forgot the past when he offered $100 tithe, but he only thinks that he's offering such a great amount of money as tithe, and now he thinks he's offering too much. But it's natural to grow in faith as much as our tithe increases. In the same way, it's important to serve others unchangingly, but we should remember that our serving should become deeper and bigger day by day. Otherwise, we may rather change to a bad way. Let's look into another case. For example, you ought to serve your parents or those who did favor to you, but you serve them by your own limit and say, you served them enough and you did your duty. But the true serving doesn't change in any situation or condition. Ruth was blessed because she showed the example of this true serving heart. Ruth is a Gentile woman who lived in the land of Moab. She married to an Israelite who moved to Moab. But a while later, tragically, all men in the house passed away. But because she loved her mother-in-law, although it was not beneficial to her, she stayed with her and served her with her heart. But one day, her mother-in-law, Naomi, said she would go back to her family land in Judea. Until then, she lived in her homeland. As it was a familiar circumstance to her, she could live serving her mother-in-law, even there was no hope. But it was not easy for her to leave her home and move to a foreign land. She didn't have any relative or any neighbor who could understand her situation. Moreover, she had to live a widow for the rest of her life, and she had to solve the problem of food, clothing, and shelter for her old mother-in-law and herself. In addition, her mother-in-law, Naomi, recommended them to leave for their homeland. Naomi was worried about her daughters-in-law who would live without a husband or a child. She didn't just recommend by some words, but she urged them to leave. What did you do if you were in their shoes? Orpha left for a new life after all. Of course, Orpha served the mother-in-law so far, and she also loved her. So at first, they left for the land of Judea together. However, she couldn't serve her to the end because she thought about her situation and her hardships. But Ruth was different. Ruth 1:16 says, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall my people, and your God, my God.'" She gave a touching confession that she would serve her mother-in-law to the end, and she'd rather persuade Naomi. She didn't just confess by lips, but served her mother-in-law devotionally. They had to worry about food every day, but Ruth went to others' field and gleaned among the ears of grain all day long, but she served her mother-in-law with joy. She didn't show her tiredness to her mother-in-law, but she served her with love, telling her things that happened during the day. Physically, Ruth turned away like a thorny path. It could have ended as a story that a poor woman made a reckless choice and lived their life without a hope. But spiritually, it was such a wise choice. Father God was pleased with Ruth's unchanging serving heart and blessed her. That is, Ruth came to meet Boaz, who was one of Naomi's closest relatives, and lived her rest of life in peace. The greater blessing was that Jesus was born through her descendants, although she was a Gentile woman. It is an amazing spiritual blessing. Likewise, it's important to serve others unchanging to the end, even though your situation doesn't allow you to serve them. It is the same when you serve for God's kingdom and for the souls with a duty in the church. When you have something to be answered or when you are poor in spirit, you do every hard work diligently and serve other workers. Because the Father's grace comes upon you in such serving, you accept everything with a grateful heart even when others point you out or rebuke you. You run in spiritfulness without thinking it's hard, even when you face some hardships. However, after some time, you find yourself different from before at the same matters you had back then. Before, they hadn't looked difficult as they were covered by grace, but now you see them one by one and you begin to feel hard to do your duty. Spiritually, it is the refinement of blessings given by Father God so that you can become a great vessel to do more duties and to serve all more souls. But you can't pass it through, but think it hard. You pour out negative words with complaints, saying, I can't do this anymore. I'm not sure if I can do. Should I be treated like this? You only think your situation is hard, even while saying the words that hurt the Father's heart, I want to rest without doing my duty for some while. Some people seem to put blame on themselves, saying, I'm not a man of spirit yet. I'm not sanctified yet. I'm not capable of this. It seems like you put down your duty from humility, but actually it is the changing heart from your evil. Eventually, your serving changes because you have evil in heart. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we looked into our serving heart when the situation and condition became different. Now, I'll explain the case when you put blame on others. At first, you follow and serve someone who did you favor, thinking he deserves respect. But suddenly, when you change, you say, he's changed. I didn't change because I wanted to. Just he's different from the person I thought he'd be. You insist like this. But it's wrong by the truth. Even though he changed differently from before, the fact that you received his favor didn't change. What is important is not him, but your heart. After all, because you have evil in you, you misunderstand him and pass judgment on him. Of course, the other may act against the truth. He may act oppositely to what he did at first. Even if he does, it is the true serving to stand by him to the end, to give him a chance for change, and to encourage him. Jonathan in the Bible did so.
Even
I was impressed by the goodness of Jonathan. Even when his father Saul disobeyed God and kept on doing evil, his serving as his son, as the son, didn't change. When Jonathan stood for David, Saul even heard his spear at him to strike him. Even though he went through such things, he didn't abandon Saul. But he didn't follow Saul's will unconditionally either. He didn't serve Saul with a fleshly serving. Also, he didn't stop trying to persuade his father Saul just by giving some advice. Because he truly loved his father, he pleaded with him over and over again not to do more evil, although he was hated by his father. And at the last moment of Saul, Jonathan kept his side and died with him in the battle. Likewise, I pray that you can cast off evil in heart and fulfill the true heart that you can serve others unchangingly. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what we must fulfill in order to enter New Jerusalem is sanctification of heart and faithfulness in all God's house. Senior pastor added one more important thing to this. It is the unchanging heart. Likewise, unchanging is very important before God. Things that change are of no value, no matter it is love, faith, or planting something. Unchanging proves the true heart of someone. Many of you want to resemble Mary Magdalene's serving heart. She followed Jesus with all her life, but she was not recognized only with that passion and devotion. If she had served him for some while, let's say, if she had left him before his crucifixion, we would not have remembered that Mary Magdalene. But her serving for Jesus was always the same, both when he did the will of God manifesting the great power and when he died on the cross as if he were a sinner. Even when Jesus died and everything seemed to be over, she went to his grave bringing spices with the unchanging heart. We can see her unchanging heart. Our senior pastor treasures what is unchanging like this, and he himself has been unchanging before the Father and church members. It takes about 10 minutes from his residence to the church if there is no traffic jam, but it takes more than 30 minutes, 1 hour or an hour and a half for him to pray and shake hands with church members on the street. When I was a member of the Word of God team of the Secretary Office, I heard I heard when the senior pastor started from his residence, and I wondered how long would it take. And when he arrived at church, he also gave a word of blessing to the workers standing in front of his office. One day, he said he felt sorry because he could not spend time with those workers because he didn't have strength. There are other ways from his residence to the church, but he never said he would take other ways because he's so busy and members would understand he didn't have strength. He takes that way just as he's been doing always and accepts and harbors the heart of the members unchangingly. Thinking of his unchanging serving, I came to look back upon myself. When I became a principal, of children's Sunday school, at first I felt embarrassed. So many people served me who was no one. Not only children and their parents, but also other pastors and even supporters or teachers in my parents' age served me with respect. They didn't neglect me as I was young. They served me as the principal, obeyed me, and loved me. Of course, they didn't serve me because they saw me. They obeyed the order set by God. Also, because they know the shepherd's expectation about the selected pastors, and they believe the word of God that I am a man of spirit, they treat me as the principal. But I cannot take it for granted when they put the slippers in front of me or serve me with a cup of drink. Of course, it is natural to follow the spiritual order and the protocol of worship, and I should accept them. But I made up my mind to serve them from my side, from my heart. Who am I? Why do they serve me like this? I tried not to forget that they do so for Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd. However, I feel that such embarrassment disappeared after 1 year or 2 years passed. So I'm always careful if I lifted up myself or if my serving heart became dull, even though I don't mean it, because I can find my deep heart only by the Father God's help. I always keep on my toes. Of course, as the head person who is responsible for the souls, I cannot say only good things. Sometimes I have to say some stinging words to those whom I love and to the souls who were entrusted to me. But even in such situations, or even if someone became close to me, if I easily point him out, or whether I easily point him out or try to teach him, or whether I don't consider him better than me, I always check myself. After I was called as a pastor, I heard not to lose the first heart many times. I heard not to become a person who is served but who serves others. I don't want to forget the first heart even 10 years later. I prepared this sermon to share the grace with you, but the greater reason is that I myself want to harden that heart once again. I pray that we all can accomplish it by prayer. Let me conclude the message. Today, I told you three things, how to serve others spiritually so that we can become great before God. Firstly, we should serve them without an ego. Secondly, we should serve them as they want. And thirdly, we should serve them unchangingly. Dear brothers and sisters, there is a scene that Jesus washed his disciples' feet in John chapter 13. John 13, 4 and 5 says, "Got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured the water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." Jesus humbled himself before his disciples and showed his serving heart by washing their feet. But he washed their feet not just to show the example of the humble service. It has the greatest spiritual meaning to wash our dirty sins. That is, the core of serving others is to make others sanctified and washed of their evil through the service. Therefore, he redeemed us from our sins by being crucified at the end. Matthew 20:28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." It was the best serving he showed to us as an example. Our senior pastor also showed us this kind of serving heart. For the last 33 years, he's been teaching us only the truth, healing diseases, giving aid, and serving us. The greatest service among them was to give a chance of forgiveness and open the way of our sanctification. Even while he's been doing so, when we couldn't fill our measure, he filled 90% of it and 99% of it to lead us to life with his best. Even when he helped dying souls received, revived, he confessed, "I hope that they have only the Father and the Lord in them." And he showed the perfect selfless service. Also, he showed how to serve others, understanding their hearts. This kind of his service has continued unchangingly with the same heart for 33 years, and it continues even now. By this, he let us meet the year 2015 as the year of fruit and the year of glory. Now it's time for us to serve others. I hope that you can serve many souls of the world with this serving heart for the kingdom of God at the era of Kano Sanctuary and Grand Sanctuary. I pray in the name of our Lord that you may become great before God by entering New Jerusalem in heaven. Let's pray, thinking over the message. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let's receive the prayer for the sick of senior pastor. Lay your hands on your sick part and put your hand on your chest for your desire in heart. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart and drive away negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command, enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light come. Please scourge all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations, go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let no scar remain. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean force, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. as their souls prosper, let all things go well with them, and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week, and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problem. With the fire words of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host and angels, and your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.